make a couple of adjustments here. There we go. I think spring has probably sprung in Vancouver. I've been talking to a few people. I think you probably got some flowers out. Well, we're beginning to see some bare spots in our yard now. Last week, the temperature was above freezing most of the time, and it appears that it's going to be above freezing again. Just not too warm, but above freezing. So we're getting a cabin fever. What that means is we've been in the cabin too long. We've been in winter too long, and we're looking forward to that being over so that we can get out and breathe the fresh air and do something outside for a change. So I'm trusting you're having a good week. I don't know if spring break was last week for you guys or not. It was in Ontario, and we've enjoyed getting out a little bit. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for our reading and our study today. A number of weeks ago, we shared some thoughts about last days, end times. And you'd have to have your head stuck in the sand, like they say the ostrich does on occasions, not to know that things are changing rapidly. The war between Russia and Ukraine, or the Russian invasion to Ukraine, is capturing most of the headlines these days. And I can't help but remember a story back in the early 90s. A friend of ours went to Russia on a mission trip to hand out Bibles. And on one occasion, they were in one of the bigger cities. I don't know if it was Moscow or not, but there was a line of people lining up to get bread. Because like we might have welfare or food stamps, or I don't know what you might call them, where you get some kind of government assistance when you don't have enough food. These people were lining up and they would get a loaf of bread. My friend Patrick, who was there at the time handing out Bibles, said we came into that area. And as soon as we started handing out Bibles, people just flocked to us to get a Bible. And he said a lady who had been in line for hours to get one loaf of bread, she offered her loaf of bread for a Bible. Well, that really touched my heart, because I just don't know how much we appreciate the Word of God, or how easily the Word of God is available to us. You probably have several Bibles, different translations, one in the kitchen, one in the bedroom, in your office, you know, on your phone, on your laptop, you know, it's just like but to appreciate it, I think it was Job that said, I treasure his word more than my daily food. Oh my goodness. More than my daily necessity of food. It's not just like, oh, I give up my dessert for a Bible. It would give up what I need to sustain myself physically for a Bible. And I don't know. I'm not a prophet. And you know that I have been sounding the trumpet for a number of years that it's possible that we're going to come on some hard times. Well, why not? The world's been in hard times ever since Christ was going to the cross. And we've been living in a bubble. Well, if you got a notice, Or if you had a situation like some of these dear millions of people who have left the Ukraine, you know that some are still trying to get out. What if somebody handed you a grocery bag and said, you got 5 minutes and we got to get out of here. Don't forget to put your Bible in there. Okay. Don't forget to put the Word of God in there. Now, I hope we don't hit these times that hard, but I think it'll be good for us if we do. And today, my message from 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a message of warning, And I pray the Lord will help me communicate to you some things that we should be aware of in these last days. Reading again from the Holy Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Please watch your Bibles. Paul says, I charge you, Timothy, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready. And out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering at teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And then in verse 6 and continuing, we'll leave that for another session, God willing. But we've looked at the authority for this solemn charge, this solemn witness that Paul lays out to Timothy. The authority is from the top, the Almighty God and his Son. And just to impress on you how serious it is, they have the final say. They will judge the living and the dead. And so it's like the Lord Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. And then he says, and my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. We're talking about the Almighty God and his Son, Jesus Christ, to whom the Almighty God has given all authority. That's what Jesus said. He's going away. He said, all authority is given unto me. Well, listen, you got God the Father and God the Son, and there is no thing created, uncreated. It doesn't matter whatever they are. Nothing is greater. So he says, on the authority of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm about to tell you something. Preach the word. That was the witness. And then last week, we talked about the reason for the witness. We broke it down into sort of two headings. Time is running out and Jesus is coming. Time is running short. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The coming of the Lord Jesus draws near. And so he says, because of that, things are changing. People, it's the end times. It's the dark, evil days before the bright light, the day star arises. And he told us what was going to happen. They won't endure sound doctrine. They're going to find somebody to tickle their ears. They'll get their own preachers and their own teachers. They'll turn anything that has truth, they'll say, oh, that's not true. Right will be wrong, square will be a circle, left will be right, up will be down, nothing will be right. And so that's the reason we have to be instant, in season, out of season, et cetera, and et cetera. Now, no, verse number 5 for today, let's notice it, the warning of the witness. The warning. Let me read it once again. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, let me get this off of my mind. I know you're not Timothy, but don't you say, I'm not Timothy, so this doesn't apply to me. Don't you say that. Because the application is many, interpretation is one. I understand that. But we're making application. We're talking about principles, timeless principles of the Word of God. And the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy in Paul's last day, taking the baton, if you please, and handing that to this young son in the faith, Timothy. And he says, run with it, son, run with it. And he gives him last minute instructions. The verses at the end of this chapter, Paul says, I'm done. I'm ready. I've done all I could do. My time of my departure is at hand. But it wasn't the time of Timothy's departure. He was going to go on. So I know you're not Paul. I know I'm not Timothy. I know you're not Timothy. But we are believers, and we're reading instructions. And what I want to share with you in the few minutes we got now is the warning. Timothy, be careful. And he mentions several things. First of all, be watchful. do you ever try to have a conversation with someone and they are preoccupied, or they are distracted. They're watching their phone, they're watching TV, they're watching, you know, their dog. I don't know what they're watching, but they're not watching you. And do you ever notice when a child tries to get the parent's attention, sometimes they'll just grab the parents like this, and they'll go, and they'll turn their face around like this, like, Daddy, listen to me, you know? Well, the idea here is pay attention. The word is actually be sober. What's the opposite of sober? Intoxicated, okay? If you're intoxicated, you can't be watchful. you're not aware of what's going on around you. You do all kinds of stupid things. And so the idea here is to be watchful, okay? Now let's add this to it. Be on alert. When the warning sirens go off in one of the cities in the Ukraine, that means the bombs are coming. Okay? These are the warnings. And they hear it, and it blasts out all through the city. I heard a journalist say yesterday that in some of the cities, the people are ignoring them now. You say, well, how could you ignore that? They just dropped a bomb, you know, half a mile over there and another one. Well, I don't know. They just figured it's not going to drop it on me. And he said, actually, in some of the cities, when the warning sirens go off, the people just line up for gas. They're going right back into the grocery store and get some more gas. They're walking down the streets as though that's not being watchful. If spiritually speaking, it's almost like you've been inoculated. It's almost like, well, yeah, I know. All the preachers talk about it. The last days, things are happening, you know. I can almost see Paul taking Timothy by the shoulders and going like this and say, son, listen to me. Don't be distracted. Be alert. Be watchful. And then you'll notice this. He says, in all things. You know, over the years, we all grow in the Lord, thank God. Some areas of our life, we grow in faster, deeper than other areas of our life. I understand that. There's some things God's just giving you the victory, okay? And you don't really think much about it anymore. It's not hardly a temptation to you anymore. That old movie, that old television program, that old bar that I used to go to, or that old theater, I don't know, whatever it was, you go, well, God delivered me from alcohol and tobacco and drugs and, you know, be careful in all things. Take nothing for granted. Joseph and Mary supposed Jesus was in the company. He wasn't. All things. Timothy, in your personal life, you be careful. You be careful where you go, who you're with, what you say, what you do. In all things, be watchful, be alert, be sober-minded. Listen, don't get distracted. Be watchful in all things over the flock. Now, this is for overseers, this is for missionaries, this is for pastors, this is for teachers in particular. But listen, the flock is your flock. 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel is your fellowship. And no fellowship is any stronger than the people that make up the fellowship. So you can't say, oh, well, I'm not accountable for it. Yes, you are. You're accountable to God. You're accountable for yourself personally. And you are accountable for the people you fellowship with. If people watch you and they say, where do you go to church? And you go, I go to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. And they go, okay, okay. What are they doing? They're judging the fellowship at the chapel according to your conduct. We're not islands. We're in a body. That body interacts, and we have to be careful. We have to watch for one another, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Watch in all things. Watch in every part of your personal life. Watch in every part of the family of God, the flock. Watch in every doctrine. You say, well, I don't know many doctrines. Well, keep studying. You will. It'll come. Nothing happens overnight. Little upon little, precept upon precept, building that foundation. But please be alert. Now, there are some issues, some teachings in the Bible that are not black and white. There are some that are. You be sure that you know which ones are black and white. We don't negotiate salvation. Christ alone, one hope, one Savior, one sacrifice, one mediator, one foundation, one name, one. Not negotiable. You make sure that you keep the doctrines, the deity of Christ, salvation alone in Christ, the authority of the Word of God, that's not negotiable. You watch in all things. And quickly, let's go endure afflictions. These are the warnings Paul is giving to Timothy, the warnings of the witness. Why does he say endure afflictions? He didn't say avoid afflictions. He didn't say give in to afflictions. He said endure afflictions. And listen, we could add to that, according to the book, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. afflictions are coming. Trials are coming. The psalmist would say, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. I said to a sister in our fellowship this morning, I said to her, she had some questions about preaching the gospel and time is running short. And I said, it's good for us that we're thinking about these things. We get used to not preaching the gospel. It's good for us that someone has a red button in Russia, and if they push it, we're in the Third World War. It's good for us to be confronted with reality. It's good for us to know the time is short. It's good for us to learn that we must endure suffering and affliction. Peter says, it's not some strange thing. You think it's strange? It's normal for the Christian. What some strange thing is that we're not suffering. What some strange thing is that we don't have to endure. That's the strange part. So he says, hang in, hang on, don't give up, never quit, get through it, get used to it. Timothy would have known what happened to Paul. My goodness, read the list sometime, 1 Corinthians 9, read the list of all of the things he had to endure physically and spiritually. And so he says, you endure afflictions, trials, troubles, heartaches. It's just part of the Christian life. Get with it. Ever since Jesus carried the cross to Calvary, ever since he was despised and rejected of men, don't ever forget you're following a rejected Messiah. Don't ever forget that. You're one of his followers. You know what they did to him? That's what they want to do to you. Even the Lord himself said it in the end of Matthew 24:25. He says, they're going to get you. They're coming for you. But I'll tell you what to say in the day. When you need it, I will meet you there. Don't worry, he said. And let's go quickly now. Do the work of an evangelist. Let me give you half of that. Do the work. It's work. I believe that it's harder for me. I know it is. It's harder for me to prepare a message than it is to dig a ditch. It's harder for me to prepare a message than it is to paint a room. It is work, spiritual work. The farmer must labor first in order to be partaker of the fruit. The Christian life is full of discipline and work. And listen, I call God as my witness. He knows how undisciplined I am. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it myself. I can't believe how gracious he is. But I'll tell you what, it being a Christian is hard. Whoever said it was going to be easy? Anyhow, you know, that none of this, oh, red carpet rolled out, smiling faces, sins forgiven, going to heaven, wonderful. Well, it is wonderful, but it's hard, and you must endure afflictions, and you must work. When I think of the word work, I think of sleeves rolled up. I think of sweat on your brow. I think of holding your back saying, oh, this is killing me. I think of hard stuff, you know. And so he says, not only do I want you to be sober and be alert and hang in there and don't give up and endure afflictions, but I want you to work in the midst of that. You might get up some morning and say, boy, I feel like digging a ditch today, you know? Well, you got to dig the ditch when you don't feel like it, spiritually speaking. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to pray for others. You got to prepare. You got to spend time with God. Listen, I don't have time for that. That's the problem. That is really the problem. And so do the work. And then he says, of an evangelist. Yeah, there's been a big not an argument, but a discussion, was Timothy an evangelist or not? There's only one named in the scripture, that's Philip. He was called an evangelist. Paul obviously was an evangelist. I suspect that Timothy was an evangelist, even though he's not called an evangelist. But nevertheless, Paul admonished him to do the work of an evangelist. What is the work of an evangelist? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Not the work of an evangelist to save anybody. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it's just not. God saves people, but we as evangelists have the privilege of sharing Christ with people. Now, everybody is an evangelist on some level. You know the Lord, tell it to your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, okay? Tell them about it. That's the work of an evangelist. But there are those who are gifted. Many, many years ago, a man that I esteemed in the Lord and I had a conversation. And I said to this man, I said, Brother Dan Snadden was his name. I said, Brother Dan, I said, I think I have the gift of an evangelist. What do you think I should do? He put his hand on my shoulder and he said this, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Dear friend, I don't know what your gift is, but if you know the Lord, you got one, at least one. There's at least 18 individual unique gifts, spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, at least 18, maybe more. And you got at least one, maybe more. Do it. Develop it. Practice it. Use it or lose it, as we would say. And so here Paul says, do the work of an evangelist. Anything done for God is work. Anything. It's hard. It takes time. It takes energy. It's hard to do. So he encourages him, do the work of an evangelist. And finally, he said, fulfill your ministry. Now, think in your heart, as I close, what ministry has God given you? You say, oh, I'm not a teacher. I didn't ask you that. I said, what ministry has God given you? What's your ministry that God has entrusted to you? You say, well, I don't know. Well, then you get praying about that. You get searching the scriptures about that. If God was through with you, you'd be in heaven. He's not through with you. You've got a job to do on earth. Fulfill, complete, keep going, endure, watch, do the work. Whatever it is, never give up. Fulfill your ministry. If you don't know what God is calling you to do, call a person that you esteem in the Lord. A believer, more mature believer, perhaps, maybe just your friend. So share together, talk about it together. What do you like to do? What do you have a bent to do? What do you have joy in doing? We're talking about spiritual things. I'm not talking about if you're going fishing or playing golf. We're talking about spiritual things for God. You have a ministry, complete it, fulfill it. Because Paul says, by the grace of God, I have finished my course. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. That's what we all want to say. But our time is not there yet. We still have work to do. God bless you. And if we have an opportunity sometime in the future, we may come back to this passage and continue to look at it again. I trust the Lord has spoken to you as he has spoken to me again today through his word. Let's pray. Father, it is our delight to commend this assembly to you. So many stories, so many testimonies of salvation, so many heartaches, so many trials, so many afflictions and so much work yet to do. Oh God, help them not to give up, to know that we start with faith, we continue with faith, we end with faith. And so I commend my brothers and sisters to you and ask your tremendous blessing and encouragement on them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.